Lillian Amundsen at the Lenox Hill Senior Citizens Center on March 2nd, 1982. Interview with Mrs. Lillian Amundsen at 343 East 70th Street, March 2nd, 1982. Mrs. Amundsen, when and where were you born?
I was born in Finland, 1908, February 13.
Oh, now, what was your hometown, the city?
It was a very small country place. It was not a city, it was just like a small village.
Oh, it was a village. And
yes.
Its name?
Ikarinen.
How do you spell that, please?
I-K-A-A-L-I-L-I-N-E-N.
N-E-N. A small village of how many inhabitants?
Well, I'm sorry, but I don't even know how many people were there that time. In all Finland, at the time I was there, there was only 3 million people.
Now, what do you most clearly remember about Ikalan as a child?
Well, my home, how my mother used to take care of 7 children all by herself. My father left and came to this country, then to Canada, when I was 1 year old. And we were living on a very small farm, but we never needed to go hungry because we worked and planted our own vegetables and the potatoes, wheat. So the only thing we actually had to buy was like sugar or some white flour to make cake, you know, finish coffee bread, but everybody liked very, very much.
Did your mother run the farm since your father was born?
Yes, by herself and with the children's help, yes, including myself. I worked on a beach when I was very, very young.
You were 7 in the family?
Yes, and I was the youngest one.
The youngest.
Mm-hmm.
How many boys, how many girls?
3 boys and 4 girls.
3 boys and 4 girls.
Yes.
And you all worked hard.
We all worked hard, but within mind, it was a pleasure to go on the field early in the morning. You know, really and truly, I mean it, that we were very healthy. Nobody was ever sick. I never went to the doctor when I was there, and many more than anybody in my family. Right.
What did you do for relaxation or entertainment since you worked so hard?
Well, the only relaxation that I could remember was the Sundays. That's the day that we did work hard. Then I went to church with my mother every Sunday. And I remember there was a lake between where the church and where my home was. And I learned to, what do you call it now, so boats, you know, how do you call it again? But anyhow, we had to go over the lake. So my mother did the rowing until I was old enough to do it. And she would sit in back of the boat, small boat. But it was a pleasure. In Christmas time, we had to have a horse, because the lake was frozen and it was too cold to walk in the snow in the lake to get to the church. But we went to church 6 o'clock in the morning. then to me, I still remember every time I go to church now as Andres. When somebody, an elderly lady, sits next to me, it's just like my mother is sitting there in that church next to me.
A Lutheran church?
Yes, Lutheran church. There is one here on 86th Street.
I know it.
Near the Park Avenue, yes. And that is the church I go to on Sundays. Mostly every Sunday. Not when I was younger, but now, because I am old, I go to church on Sundays.
Was Gandhi Church your only relaxation?
Well, then Saturdays, like afternoons, Saturday afternoon, we went to school Saturday for half a day.
On Saturday?
Yes.
Not during the week?
Yes, all day, all week. But even on Saturday, we went to school half a day. So then afternoon, that we didn't have anything special hard work to do. That was the one day that work to do. That was the one day that...
Saturday afternoon?
Yes.
For fun?
Yes.
Tell me something about your education. What type of school was
Well, there? The only school I went to was a regular grammar school. Like, yes. But we have to go to school when we were 8 years old. And I stayed in school until I was four. When I left and came to time, when I left and came to United States.
You did not go to
kindergarten.
Oh, no.
Yes, that's it. But that was, we didn't have to go if we didn't want to. But the regular grammar school, when you were able to read and write, before I even went to grammar school.
Your older brothers and sisters taught you?
My mother.
Your mother.
And you know, this is the truth. I learned to read and write from the Bible. Because I had to write, read. My mother couldn't read. And I had to learn to do, but I learned to spell our Father who are in heaven. And from that I learned to read. Would you believe it? It was a pleasure when I read that to my mother on Sundays. And she made me spell it. You see, she only remembered, she couldn't read it, but she remembered because the other people, the older children, has taught her, you know. I had a very, very good mother. Nobody could be any better.
She ran the farm, and yet she was your teacher, too. That's very amazing.
That is only a good woman would be like that.
Now, how did you get the idea of coming to America? You said you got the idea when you were 14 years old.
Yes, you see, I would not go on the school. I wanted to go, keep on going, like to a high school. In Finland, when you go get through the grammar school, that's 8 years, that is like 2 years to high school in here, in this country. And I wanted to keep on going, but my mother didn't have money to buy the books and keep sending me to school. And over there, you have to buy your own books and everything cost. So, then my cousin, who had been living in New York City, she came over to Finland to visit her mother and father, and she was telling me how wonderful it is in the United States, and how easy it is for people to make money. Long as they are willing to work. That's how I got the idea. Mother, I said, in Finland, I can help you, but if I go to the United States, I will be able to send you money. And that is how I came, and that is how I did help my mother.
So you have a picture that you got from your cousin of America as a land of opportunity.
That's right. That's exactly.
Did you know any English?
Not a one word.
Oh, that was very enterprising. And how did your family feel about your leaving, and how did you feel about going? You were only 14.
I was only 14. I missed my mother so much, my sisters and brothers, and all my school girlfriends. I used to write to them all the time, and I always promised my mother, when I am here long enough and make enough for money, I will come back. But when I did have the money, then I didn't want to go back to England anymore, because it was much better living and working in the United States.
Did any of your family come to visit you?
No. Never.
Now, tell me about the trip that you made from Finland to America. How did you come and how did you make arrangements? You were just 14. Did your cousin help you?
Yes, because she has to, over there in Finland already, she has to promise to take care of me until I would be 16, because that was the law that then at 16 you could start working, and she promised just to keep me as her own daughter until I was 16.
She promised?
Yes.
Yes, but the travel arrangements, how would you go about making them?
Well, what? My mother had to sign the paper that she would let me come here with her, that she would more or less release me to her.
Oh, you made the trip with your cousin?
Yes, oh yes.
What was your cousin's name?
Aida Pitkänen.
Aida Pitkänen?
Yes, she stayed a long time.
And,
she was married.
So she brought you back with her?
She brought me over to this country, yes.
And tell me, what do you remember about the trip and saying goodbye to your family? And
that was horrible, saying goodbye to my family. I tell you, I cried and cried until we landed on a ship. That time there was no airplanes.
Now you left
Ikkalinen.
How did you leave them? Did you go to Helsinki?
Yes, that's where we went.
Went
yes,
to Helsinki.
Yes. And my cousin's brother drove us to the nearest place where we could get the train to get to Helsinki, you know. But when I was I kept crying and crying. I couldn't even look at outside. I just kept crying. I was so lonely.
And the date, the calendar year?
It was in August. August the 10th when I left home.
The year again?
I was waiting at now 1922.
Yes. So this was after the war?
Yes. We landed in Ellis Island.
So we'll come to that later now. Tell me, you drove
on a horse and buggy until we came to the city. And from there, Tampere, we took a train to Helsinki.
To Helsinki?
Yes. And from there, we got the boat, the ship.
What was the name of the boat?
Fredrik the Eighth.
What kind of a ship was it?
That was a Norwegian boat, ship, you know. Mm-hmm.
Norwegian boat. And do you remember anything about the people on board the ship?
Well, only thing I would remember that there were a lot of people that who couldn't talk my language, you know. I mean, some were Swedish people or Norwegian people. Then another thing was, I was awfully seasick. As soon as soon as we got to the ocean and the big waves, I was sick. So I just stayed in my room. And I was praying the Lord that we would just land on the ground so we would get away from the ocean.
Oh, that was very brave of you, wasn't it, to
well,
leave alone at 14?
I had something to look forward.
You were looking forward to being able to continue with your education.
I will.
Or to send money back to your mother.
To send money to work.
To work.
And to help my mother, because I know how hard she was working.
Oh, that was very good.
She was 50 years old exactly when I left.
And none of your brothers and sisters thought to come?
No.
That indeed was great. Now, the Frederick landed on Ellis Island.
The ship came back the second, because it was the Labor Day weekend, and it was a holiday when we landed in Ellis Island, so we could not get off the ship. We had to spend a night on the ship. My cousin, she, because she was a United States citizen, and her husband was there to meet her, she could get out of the ship. But I couldn't. I had to spend the night over there.
All alone, and you couldn't
speak
the language.
Yeah, I couldn't speak the language, no.
On Ellis Island, but on the ship?
No, we had to get off the ship.
Oh, you had to stay overnight?
No, we had to stay over in Ellis Island, yes, that's right.
Can you remember anything of how Ellis Island appeared to you? Anything you can remember about it?
Well, there were a lot of people in the first place that I haven't seen in my life before. And to me, that was just something I just wanted to see the way, you know, that they would be living. What would they be eating when we were, would they seem to be eating the same thing that I did, which was a surprise, but I just admire all that was something new to me.
So, anything about the building?
Yes, of course, when I saw, then when I got out of there, when I saw the big building, we didn't have anything like that in Finland that time. In a big city, yes, in Helsinki, but they were not that high. There was maybe about 4 or 5 floors, but not 20 and 30 floors up. When I saw them, I just kept staring. I thought they were going to blow down.
Okay. And what about the people who were working at Ellis Island? Were they good to you?
They were all very nice, very pleasant, although I didn't understand what they were saying, but I just...
How did they talk with you if you didn't understand?
Well, they couldn't. You see, I had to wait then until my cousin came back the next day and explain, you know. She also had to sign the paper that she would put me in school until I was 16 years old. That was the law at that time. You had to be 16 before you could start working.
I see.
Yes.
So she took care of the arrangements for you.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Like she promised my mother that she would take care of it. Yes.
And once she signed the papers on Ellis Island, and
then I took it out.
You were afraid to go home with her.
That was right after breakfast then, you know. We only had the breakfast that day in Ellis Island. And she was there about 10 o'clock in the morning, and then I was able to get out. So when I put my foot on the street, on the sidewalk, And you couldn't imagine, because over there in Finland, we didn't have cement sidewalks like we have in here. We used to have gravel. And I said, my God, is the old streets like this in here? To me, everything was so new, old, very different. But I enjoyed everything. Were you frightened at all? Well, I suppose maybe little, but not much. I just try to enjoy everything, take everything in and see what it was.
Where did your cousin live?
At that time, she was living in 125th Street.
125th?
That is where a lot of Finnish people was living.
That's changed since then.
Well, now, none of the Finns living there no more, no.
1922, Finnish
yes.
Neighborhood.
That's nice. It was beautiful. They have a Finnish church, and they have Finnish recreation places, you know, like Sunday afternoon, you could go
in.
Finn Hall, yes. You could go and listen to the beautiful music and dance Sunday afternoon.
That's right. So you lived on 125th Street, and did you indeed continue with your education until you were 16?
I'm sorry to say no. She disappointed me. She did not put me to school.
And you were interested in continuing your
education? Oh, yes, very much. She just said that, well, you have to go to work to earn your living. And that is what I did.
She started at 14?
I did. She took me to the Finnish Employment Agency for maid service. At 14, I had a long blonde hair, so we just made a knot of it in the back of my head. And she bought me a dress that was long to make me look like she's 16 instead of 14.
Yeah.
I went to work, doing housework. And people were so nice. I couldn't understand word to word what they were saying to me. But when the lady showed me how to do things, how to clean the house, how to do the washing, I learned very quickly because I was interested. I wanted to do it.
Tell me about your first job, please. What kind of people were they?
There was three people only. Lady and a gentleman, and they had one daughter. But the girl daughter was grown up already.
Where did you work?
It was in some place in Long Island. Maranek. Yes, I can't even, but I have to learn to travel from there to come to New York, and that was the hardest thing, you know, to come to New York on my day off.
And not knowing much English.
Not knowing much English. But the lady put me in the train, and I came to New York. And I learned how to get to 125th Street. My cousin came to meet me a couple of times at the station, Benjamin Station, you know, just to bring me up to the moment, so then I learned my way how to get there.
So you travel and this woman taught you how to do housework?
Yes, she did. She was very, very nice.
You worked how many hours?
Sometimes 12, 14 hours a day.
Hmm.
You gotta get up at 7, and you have to have the breakfast at 7 o'clock, because the gentleman had to go to New York to a business, so he had to have his breakfast early.
You slept there?
Yeah, oh yes, where else could I sleep? I have no room. So I have my room in Fordham, my own room there. Oh yes. Those days, all the, especially out in the country, people where they have maids, they have a maid's room.
Were there any other maids in that town from Finland?
Well, soon I learned there was somebody nearby, and we got together. And then we also traveled together. That was about at least half a year, you know, 6 months before I learned that somebody was living. And I went through the employment agency. There was another Finnish girl in that neighborhood. Otherwise, I never would have known there was somebody there.
Now, did you, the other jobs you had after this, did you get them all through this employment agency?
Well, some of it, but not all, and it all depends, because there were other employment agencies, like the Swedish employment agency, too.
But Swedish employment?
Yes, but I, Johnson, but I usually stayed, you know, long time. I didn't like to change, so when I got used to it.
You stayed a long time with these first people. How long did you stay?
Well, in the first place, I didn't stay too long. Just for the simple reason, it was too far for me to travel. Then, when I left there, I was there, I think, about one year. Then I came to New York, and I find myself a job in New York City.
Oh, to be nearby?
Yes.
In Manhattan?
Yes.
Doing housework too?
Doing housework, yes.
Now we're coming to the time of the Depression. Did that affect your being able to get work at all?
Well, not that kind of a work. You still, you know, the people who have money, they still needed service, you know, maids.
Did the Depression affect your life at all?
Well, I don't know. Somehow I guess it affected everybody's life a little bit. Because then, you see, at the time already, the Depression was 29, 30, 31. Well, I got married when I was 17 years old.
So you already worked as a housemaid, and then?
Then I met a Finnish fellow.
Where and when?
At the Finnish dance hall. Like all the Finns, they used to go dancing. And that's where I met my first husband.
And his name?
Veikko Wiberg.
How do you spell
that? That's not the first name. The last name is W-I-B-E-R-G.
Yes.
It's not the Finnish name, it's more or less like a German name.
Yes.
Yes.
First name?
Veikko. V E I K K O.
K O. And you traveled before, when you were traveling with your first cousin?
Yes, that's right.
And your date of your marriage to him?
1925.
1925.
In June.
What was his occupation?
Carpenter.
He was a carpenter. And where did you settle?
Well, then, when we got married, built a little bungalow out in the country.
Where in the country?
Inwood, Long Island.
Oh, yeah.
That's where my daughter was born.
When was she born?
27.
1927. And her name?
Mildred.
Mildred.
Now her last name is Breitman.
Did you work for a while before you had your daughter?
I worked Although I was married, and then my daughter was 2 years old when I separated from my husband. I find out he was an alcoholic. I never know before we were married that he was drinking, because those days people didn't drink the TV. So I have to leave him because he was very hard to get along when he was drunk.
So you left with a two-year-old child?
Yes. But my child was left in somebody else's house. Somebody who also came from the same town, from Finland, and I did. She took care of my daughter, and I went to do a housework. And that's my husband.
So you supported your child the way your mother took care.
That's right. I never got any money for support from my husband because he never had any. I took him to court. He was told that he had to support the child. He never had any because he always, as soon as he got paid, he went to the nearest saloon or wherever he spent his money just drinking.
So you found yourself mother and father.
I was a mother and father.
And you continued to do housework.
Yes.
We've been talking, and I want to find out some more about the life of the Finnish community. Did you continue to live around 125th Street?
Well, I lived in the 125th Street. That's where my cousin lived,
Yes.
But then I was living out in the country where my daughter was born.
You continued to live in the country?
Yes, 5 years while until my daughter got me older, and then I came back to New York.
Did you live around 125th Street then, when you came back?
Wait a minute now, where was I living then? 78th Street. 78th Street, yes. Mm-hmm. That's where, in this neighborhood, I've been living most of my life.
Oh, this is on the east side of Manhattan.
Yes.
Now, it doesn't have to be just 125th Street. I would like to know a little more about the type of community where Finnish people live. You were telling me about the halls and the life on 125th Street.
That's
and
it. Yes.
The music and the recreation.
Yes. It was very, very nice, yes. And as I said, we have our own church over there, and that's where I had my first communion, because I was 40 when I left. And you had to be 16 in Finland before you could have your first communion. That is the Lutheran church. So I went to church every Sunday afternoon, just to make sure that I know all about the religion, the Bible.
Thank you very much. Second part of the interview with Mrs. Amundsen. Now, Mrs. Amundsen, you are bringing up a daughter alone in America, and you're working here. Can you tell me something about the differences that you found about living in here and life back home in Finland? What were some of the differences that come to mind?
Well, it is so much easier for somebody who has to work like I did, who is poor,
the work and do the karma work with ideas like a housework, then over there in Denmark. I would not have find this kind of a work here over there. I would have to work probably out on the farm, or if I stayed in city, I would have to go to a factory, but I never would have done. I never did like even talk about the factory work. With the housework to me and to be with nice people, I always was very nice people. They was always very nice to me.
So you enjoyed your work?
Oh yes, I did. I liked it, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I worked until I was 70 years old.
Oh, that's really something.
Mm-hmm.
And now, in bringing, you brought up your daughter in America.
Yes.
Did you speak Finnish with her?
Yes. In jail. She went to school. And then when the teacher told her, Mildred, you have a Finnish accent. She didn't like that. She said, Mama, we have to speak English from now on because I don't want anybody to tell me that I have an accent.
Oh.
And I think that was wrong of that teacher to say that to her. But she still understands when I go to visit her and I talk Finnish to her. She understands, but she doesn't. She just says very few words. But she has forgotten it. And my grandchildren, of course, don't understand any Finnish at all.
So you, in the beginning, you did speak Finnish at home.
When she was left.
Now, what way did you try to keep Finnish customs alive in your home? For instance, the holidays in America.
Well, we have, you know, the Christmas holidays, for instance. We have a tool.
Tell me about a Finnish Christmas.
We have 2 days of Christmas.
First day
of Christmas and the second day of Christmas. First day of Christmas is a very holy day. And you just have like, when I was in Finland, my mother, grandmother and father always came visiting us. We had the Christmas tree. And we had regular candles. We didn't have no electric lights. But it was beautiful. And we used to put a straw under the tree, Christmas tree. And when we were small, the kids would sit there or lay down on the straw. This was a great big pleasure. And grandmother and grandfather was always there. That's right. But then, of course, when you grow up, and when I was here, then it was different. I mean, we don't have that kind of a Christmas. Although, when my daughter was living with me, I always made sure that we had a Christmas tree.
So when candles over the electric lights?
Yes, we used ordinary candles and no electric lights, no.
Hmm. And were there any other Finnish holidays besides Christmas?
Well, we had an Easter, the same day. We had first and a second Easter holiday. The first one is always a holy day. The second one, Christmas and Easter, that's when we go visiting everybody. Everybody, you know, that you all come visiting when you go visiting people.
Hmm.
That's it.
And how did you keep in touch with your family back home, raising a child here?
I kept writing to my mother all the time. And my sister who was living
there. Did she ever see her grandchild?
No.
You just wrote about her.
Yes, that's right. When I went to see my mother, I have only visited Finland once after I left. And that was 12 years ago.
12 years ago, let's see when.
That was in the summer time, but what year was 12 years ago? Now it's 82.
60.
70.
70,
yes. 70, yes, that's right.
70,
yes.
Did you go back to your...
See, my sister is still alive there, yes.
You went back to visit?
the understanding is when everything is so different, you won't leave it.
How is it different?
Well, you see, for instance, now they have automobiles over there just like here. They have buses over there running just like here. Supermarket. But we never even heard of it when I was there. You could go to the supermarket exactly like here, buy anything and everything you want. Same in the stores, to buy clothes, especially out in a city like Helsinki. I was there 1 week. I stayed in a hotel with my girlfriend, and we went different places. It's beautiful. And what is so nice about it, the streets are so clean. They are not dirty.
That says a lot. Now, your sister has children?
Yes. My sister is dead now. She died 2 years ago. She had grown children, or I mean, you know, because she was my older sister. She was 84 when she died.
Did any of your nieces or nephews express an interest in coming here?
No, I'm talking about my sister here.
Oh, I thought you were talking about your sister in Finland.
No, I had one sister here. Yes, okay. Yes, yes. And she had 4 children. But it was just... I don't know, should I say, we were never really very close. Because I never had time to go visiting. And she never had time to visit me.
Oh, this is your sister here?
Yes. Lives in Bayshore, Long Island.
I said, but your sister back in Finland?
Finland, yes.
Did any of her children show any interest about coming here?
No. She only had one boy and one girl, and they both in Finland. We were right here by them.
I see. Now, coming again to the younger generation, are there any younger people coming over from Finland now?
There are some, but not as many as it used to be. Not only that, but the ones who do come here, they are well educated and they have a perfect English, because in grammar school they teach English in Finland already, and the children all have to learn to speak English like they speak their own language.
What type of work do they do when they come here?
Well, what they used to do, most of them, when I was young, well, we all did housework. But now, they all do office work. Nobody wants to do housework anymore.
You did housework, and I gather that the women usually did. What type of work did the men who came here do?
Most of them were carpenters.
Carpenters.
Yes.
Coming back to the men again, you tell me that you married for a second time. Was your second husband Finnish too?
No. Swedish descent. Swedish.
But he had come from Sweden or from Finland?
No. He was born here, up in the Bronx.
I see. He was an American.
He is an American. He's still alive. We are divorced. He didn't die. He,
I see. Yeah. I see. So he is an American of Swedish descent.
That's right, yes.
And... but you're married to him.
Ask you, and I study that book so good finish the question before I answer. So the church laughed and said, listen, young lady, you know the question and the answer. I have two of my friends with me as a witness. You have to have two witnesses, you know, when you go and get into this place. That they know you for a length of time, that you are a good person, that you haven't done anything wrong. And both those people is there now.
You became a citizen.
I became a citizen, and I'm very proud to be a citizen of the United States. And every time I see the flag and I hear the national anthem, I still get the tears in my eyes. Only thing I have to do is think about it or stop seeing it. The most wonderful country in the whole world, the United States. God bless.
Oh, that's very moving. Now, people who you met working and living here, who did they ask you about Finland? What lessons did they ask you about Finland?
Well, nobody actually asked any special question. Everybody, all the United States, I mean the people in the United States have always been very nice towards the Finland and the Finnish people.
Why do you think that is?
Because they are very honest. That Finland is the only country that pays their debts.
The word that?
Yes. As poor country as it was, they pay their debts. And in my estimation, all the Finnish people are very proud. They will never want to go on a warfare. No, they would rather work. And anybody in this country who wants to work, they don't need to go on a warfare. That is my opinion. And I'm very, very proud that I was born in a country like that, but I am even prouder to be a United States citizen.
I'm so happy about that. Do you have any idea of how the students learn about them in geography courses in the schools here, and in a way it could be changed or improved?
I really don't know. I can't answer that question.
Well, now, perhaps you would like to finish this up. Any thoughts about Finland and America coming over here? Why don't you finish it up? Get some more time. Why don't you finish it up?
Well, I don't think I have much to say anymore. Only thing I can say is that I am very, very happy to be here, and I am glad that my cousin did bring me over. Although she did put me to work when I was that young.
And even though it made you very unhappy to leave your family.
It made me very, but that only lasted a while. I used to just keep on writing to my school chums in my home, but I never really had very much yearning to go back there, or never to live there, only to visit. Because, as I have said before, working over there, doing the kind of a work that I have done, I was able to do, it is so much better here than over there. Not that I want to put down my ex-country, I mean, country where I was born. But you see, that is a very poor country compared to the United States.
Did any of your school chums ever come over here?
Not to I know. I mean, some of them probably have gone over to Canada or someplace else, but not, you know, anybody that I know from the school. I know a lot of Finnish people. I still do. There is still some Finnish people here in New York City, and I know a lot of the girls. But they mostly have, all of them, especially my age, we all have the same story. They all came and worked as I did, doing the housework. And very proud to be doing it. At least it's a clean, honest work, and you could make a good living. I don't have to go on a welfare. I was able to save you dollars, so now I can just relaxed and date like eating. Now tell me another country where people this age would say that.
That's true. This has been very interesting, and I'm so glad that you're happy here.
Very happy.
Thank you for your contribution to the museum.
Thank you very, very much.